Welcome to the Ranking Revolution podcast, your go-to source for strategies and ideas for SEO, organic growth, content creation, and business. I'm your host, Doug Cunnington. This episode is part two of my conversation with Ricky Kessler. And we talk about content sites, we talk about using AI, we talk about how AI impacts content sites and the Google helpful content update, and what we think of just really dealing with algorithm updates in general, which is challenging. If you missed part one, I will quickly recap the disclaimer. We recorded this episode back in like February of 2024. So it was before the March core update / spam update and all the de-indexing that went on. So keep that in mind. At the time that we recorded it, we didn't know the March update was going to come out. So we're just going to jump right into it. And I appreciate you checking out this episode. And let's hear from Ricky Kessler of Income School. From what I've seen, helpful content seem to devastate. I gave a couple of specific numbers and stuff. People in this sort of niche site, affiliate site space, people that we have in our circles, Ricky.
Yeah.
Do you think these updates have been good? You said, I think Google is trying to get searchers where they want. What's your opinion of these recent updates?
I think to some extent, I think the SERPs aren't what it, I try to make the assumption that Google's trying to have a good product and get the product to do what we as users want it to do, which is help us find good content for the content we're looking for, right? So I make that general assumption. I don't assume that like companies are all totally altruistic either. I mean, I just think that Google's going to make the most money overall if they continue to have a product that everybody thinks is the best. And I think that if that's the case, I don't think the SERPs right now look quite how Google wants them to look. So I don't think these updates have been totally good or totally in the right direction. I think they've been attempts to move in that direction, but that there's a lot of good content that's been caught up in it. And part of it could just be because of some of the things we talked about. You know, you get these niche sites that have maybe been around for, maybe somebody's been working really hard for a year, year and a half, 2 years, maybe even longer. And they were making 20,000 a month or so. But, you know, I know a lot of people who are like, I was making 4,000-5,000 a month, and now I'm down under 1,000, you know, and I'm losing out in the SERPs to garbage content, you know? And so is that just because there's garbage content but it's being created by people that know what they're doing? And so they check all the right on-page SEO boxes and they build a bunch of links. It's hard to say for sure, but I don't think that where we're at now is where we should be in the SERPs or where hopefully Google even wants us to be. I just think it's their attempt to move in the right direction. But there's some really good content I know of that it's gotten caught up in this. And I think it's Google trying to weed out a lot of not good content, not helpful and not accurate content.
And that's we're going to come to it in a second. We're going to talk AI content. We're going to talk AI stuff as well.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, these updates are, I don't think they're that great either. You're very diplomatic. It's the project manager coming out in you. I think the updates were kind of crappy. I've searched for a couple things and I end up on a Reddit thread with a couple jokers out there that don't know what they're talking about. And I'm like, this is not what I'm looking for. This is not what I'm looking for at all. And like, I think a lot of people face that frustration. I mean, forums and or user generated content can provide a good conversation sometimes.
Right.
But if you want the short answer,
no guarantee.
it's probably not it. And then as marketers and SEOs, they go in and ruin stuff. So soon I'm going to have someone on who does like Reddit affiliate marketing and Reddit marketing in general. So that we understand, like, because it's a, you know, the same seedy underbelly of like any make money online type industry. So
yep.
All that to say, you do have Project 24 community membership. It's a series of courses that teach you all kinds of stuff, right? So how do you keep up to date? Because one problem I found, and I decided to sunset my course because of this, I could create content that covers something. It might be accurate for about 2 or 3 weeks, 2 or 3 months, or 2 or 3 years. And I don't want to be in the game of like chasing my tail, potentially giving advice that will not be accurate. It will not be helpful. And we got to go clean it up. And then I just told, you know, 40 people, 400 people, whatever, what to do. And now we have to clean up the mess. Ricky, how are you managing that? Because it seems like a bigger task than I want on my shoulders.
Yeah, it certainly is, and it certainly can be really bad. The main thing that we've done is a lot of our course content is very much like underlying foundational principles that aren't changing very quickly. And so, there's a lot of SEO stuff where it's like the optimal thing to do today, it's totally different than it was a little bit before. But there's a huge component of content creation that hasn't changed that much. And so to give some examples, like creating content that's relevant to search queries, to specific search queries. I mean, you get someone who's new to content creation online, you know, whether it's a business owner or an individual creating a niche website about a hobby of theirs. The first thing that they always do, and I did the same thing when I started my first blog, they jump in and they start writing articles about all the stuff that's in their mind that they just want to get out there into the world. And they write it in a way that it's not tailored to any question that anyone's typing into Google at all. And it's like, okay, well, we can fix that problem and that's going to make it better, right? So we're going to create content that's tailored to search queries. One of the things that we had to update in our course, and actually I feel like I need a bigger update. I need to completely revamp a whole section right now because we used to focus a lot as we do our keyword research on, again, kind of identifying search queries that are good search queries, but then, you know, validating them to make sure that there's some traffic actually searching this query, and try to validate them to see if you have any possibility of ranking for it. And if those things don't align, kind of like your keyword golden ratio, if those things don't line up at all, we're just not going to write it now. Maybe someday we'll be more authoritative or whatever, but we're just not going to write it. Well, that's changed because now it's like, if it's an important part of the topic, you better write it or you're not going to build topical authority. So now I would completely change the way that I teach that. And it would be more about really building out kind of a topical map. Like, these are the important things to cover, just to make sure that we've reasonably covered the topic. And then we can even go out from there and find some low competition things that we're confident we can rank for, so that we can, you know, with a brand new website, show up in the SERP, right? But it's all going to kind of be built around foundational important content. And that's something we didn't used to have to do. So that's one place where it has changed. But like, all the activities that we recommend around building EEAT, the way that we teach people to write articles, a lot of what we teach, the principles are still solid. And maybe it's just kind of the learner and the kind of teacher in me that I don't know where that came from, but for some reason, I just love teaching too. I like helping people understand the principles, which is harder. It's a lot easier just to say, here's 3 steps, do them. And sometimes I get too far into the principal side of things. But because the foundational principles are so solid, like if the people that we're teaching are built around those, then I can kind of just give them the updates, but not in a course format. So we have a podcast 3 times a month. Our members get an episode about blogging. 3 times a month, we have another podcast, and they get episodes about video and YouTube. And so, you know, 3 times a month, we're having conversations, answering the questions we get in our community and talking about things we see in the industry that are changing. And so like the little nuances and stuff we can talk about. And then we have our community where people are constantly talking about, hey, I just saw this cool case study somebody else did on a YouTube channel. They're talking about a blog they built over the last year. Look at all this money they made, watch their video. And then there's discussion around it. Like, well, what did they do differently? And so there's a lot of kind of that user-generated discussion constantly happening on top of what we share. And then we do like mastermind kind of live calls several times, a few times a week, where different groups are getting together and all of our members are welcome and they can just come and have a discussion, ask their questions, usually around a specific topic. So when we identify a need or an opportunity, we can disseminate the specifics, but then the course content, it's like we have an affiliate marketing course within all of our courses, and it really focuses more on strategy. And then there are specific like how-tos, but it's more like, here's how to make a deep link on, you know, impact, right? It's like you're using impact radius, like you want to link to a specific product. It's not like Amazon. You can't just go, you know, grab the link and put your tracking ID in there. You got to go on impact and you got to put a link to the product in and generate a deep link. Let me show you how to do it. Because I have to assume they don't know how to do that. But most of the content focuses on, here's kind of more of the marketing and psychological strategy of how to succeed as an affiliate marketer. And then, you know, the other nuances around like, how many affiliate links can I post in an article, or, you know, how salesy should I be? That kind of stuff. It's like, if we see Google updates pushing out where sites with a lot of affiliate links are getting hit, it's like, okay, look, if you've been going too heavy here, back off. But those are kind of the more nuanced pieces. They're not the majority of the course content. So I'm not having to make major updates unless there's a big enough fundamental shift, like my approach to keyword research. Like it needs to be updated sooner rather than later.
Perfect answer. And I think you framed it really well. There's certain things that are solid lessons and units, and those are not going to change. You could probably even think about those ideas and take it to YouTube or a podcast or whatever. Right. And then there's like one-offs where you can do little updates or make updates if required, if there is a major change. I mean, and the thing is, it shifted over like 2 years, like topical authority right. has slowly become more and more important. And it's, you know, it's very clear from what we see from brand new sites and the traction they get when they think about it ahead of time. Hey, it's Doug here. And I hope you're enjoying the show. Ranking Revolution just launched, so I'd love your support. Please subscribe wherever you're consuming this show. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And if you're really ambitious, tell a friend, tell a neighbor, an enemy, anyone that will listen. And I appreciate your support. Oh yeah, sign up for the email list too. There's a link in the description and show notes. You're awesome and have a great day. You talked about garbage content before, and I was chatting with a friend the other day who does a lot of tests, and this person is testing unedited AI content at scale. We see some stories about this. This one's sort of under the radar, so this person is not mentioning it anywhere, but it's, you know, I think several thousand articles. It's making about $5,000 a month or so, and it's literally unedited, just publishing as quickly as they can. So I'm curious your take on AI content. What have you tested? Is there anyone on the team that's testing? And we'll get into some of the details here. So what do you think of the AI content?
Yeah. I have no question that it can work, because we're seeing case studies like that. I don't know if it'll work long-term, if the content, this is where it gets tricky. Like, if the AI generates all of the content, there's a couple things that it can't do that well. One is like, it can check a bunch of sources, but sometimes you still get some inaccurate stuff, depending on what the topic is. Things where there's not a lot of sources where it can go check. I mean, I've seen, and frankly, humans generated content, it's not always better. And that's something we certainly noticed. We had a lot of freelance writers that were college students, and I'd have them write articles. And when I start looking through articles they wrote for me, I'm like, okay, this is wrong. But then I go look and see like, where'd they get their information? And some of it they got from other blog posts that are also wrong. And it's like one person wrote something and 12 other bloggers regurgitated the same thing. The AI is doing that same thing. They're just better. The AI is a better writer than most of us, right? So, you know, I don't know that AI generated content is that much worse than what a lot of bloggers have been doing anyway, where they just regurgitate what other people say. You know, and so why I say I don't know how well it'll do in the long run is like, as Google's looking for helpful content, they're looking for more uniqueness in the content as well. So it's like, it's a tricky balance, right? So they want your content to generally agree with the consensus of what the internet says. Otherwise, they think it's wrong or it's inaccurate. But they also want it to have something that makes it different than all of the other content on the internet. Otherwise, like, Google doesn't need 12 copies of the same blog post to show up on the SERP. So it's tricky. I think AI, from what I'm seeing, can do a fantastic job of writing. Another thing, though, that it can't do is actually have life experience. And so I think one thing that a lot of people are looking for, we're seeing this a lot on YouTube right now, a little bit of a shift, but I think we may see some of this, at least in certain industries in blogging. If I'm Googling like a health-related question or whatever, I don't, you know, I maybe don't care about this, but like one of the big shifts we're seeing now is people that are kind of starving for like just humanness, right? So on YouTube, we're seeing content that's just a little bit more vulnerable and a little more human and a little bit less polished is starting to like get more trendy. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if blogs are kind of going the same way, where people want like a good, quick, helpful answer, but they also want to feel like it's coming from a person with that's experienced what they're about to experience or what they're experiencing right now. And so an AI might be able to simulate that, but I think it's going to need a lot of guidance to do that, because the, you know, like ChatGPT doesn't like to lie or share opinions. It's like, you know, here's what the sources say, but it doesn't really like to take too strong of a stand unless it's just a fact, right? And so anyway, I see AI being a really helpful tool. I just watched a case study from KC Botticello on YouTube, where in a year he took a blog to $22,000 a month in just ad revenue from nothing. But he did this exact thing, right? He took, built out a topical map of about 750 articles, stuck to only those, and the AI wrote the first draft. But then he heavily edited them because it was a topic he personally knew a lot about. And he spent between 2 and 4 hours per article editing them. And it's worked really, really well for him. But he didn't feel like the AI version was going to be enough, but it was good and it was helpful and it helped make the blog post better than if he had just started from blank, and saved him time. But it was still a huge undertaking. It was still, he said, like about a 6 month full-time job worth of work just to edit the blog posts, which he did personally. So anyway, lots of things. I have lots of thoughts about AI. I do have someone on the team who's spending a lot of his time basically understanding AI, and he's super excited about it. There's a lot of automation we can do, content repurposing we can do, just to make our lives easier and better. But I'm personally not going to rely on AI to completely generate something from nothing. I'm definitely either going to steer it closely, or I'm going to make sure I at least add in my own flavor to it afterwards.
Good answer. I think, you know, for the work that you and I do, Ricky, personally, it's a great tool to repurpose content, you know, pull the transcript from this interview, right? I could turn it into blog post, and it's our own words. So it will have the quirkiness. It'll have your specific stories, and it's a great tool for that. And I haven't really published much. Actually, I haven't played with it, just like you're saying, as far as like publishing fresh content, to see what'll happen, because I really don't think it'll be a long-term. The barrier to entry is too low, so it'll just be saturated. Yeah. Like by definition, like at some point, it's not going to work because like that is the least common denominator.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Totally agree.
So so you're not in the weeds too much with AI. Well, I'm curious, you personally, are you using it for script research or someone on your team? I don't know your workflow over there, but like,
right.
Are you personally using like Gemini or ChatGPT or Claude or what?
Yeah, I'm using it a fair amount for, especially for helping, generate ideas, or it's like, I have this concept for a video. You know, I have these points I want to make, but like it's missing something, or sometimes I'll use it to, I've been playing around creating some custom GPTs in ChatGPT where I basically sort of steer it to do certain things. So I have one that is literally like its job is to write YouTube video titles. And I've even specified like, don't give me suggestions that are too long, you know, like don't, you know, and I like, here's kind of the tone that I go for. And then I always ask for several examples and then it'll give me a bunch. And I'll usually use those as a starting point. Sometimes I'll even combine a couple of them because they have elements that like, I wouldn't have personally thought to include in the title, but I'm like, yeah, that's a good title. And just things like that where, you know, the creative bandwidth as content creators, like, you know, this, like you only have so much bandwidth in your brain every day and we're constantly creating content. And so having something that can help get us over that hump from nothing to a decent starting point. It's like that initial brainstorming where it's like, well, we're going to have to get 8 people in a room to have a brainstorm session so that we can come out with a few good ideas that we can build on later. Well, now the AI can do a lot of that for us. We've been working on a project for content repurposing, trying to tailor the prompts better to be able to take specifically like a blog post and generate social media posts for it, generate like Twitter threads for it. So, you know, multiple tweets, Instagram posts, things like that. Just kind of tweaking the prompts that we use to generate that. So like you said, it's taking words we already wrote, like these are our thoughts, our ideas and everything. But now it's just going to take some of the highlights and format them in a great way for Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Threads, everywhere else. Maybe give me an idea for a video that could really supplement it and give me a bit of a script or an outline that I could start with. But I'm always going to add in, you know, when I'm generating like a video or a blog post, it's going to be me. That's going to be a huge piece of the content.
One thing I've done, I'm a big journaler and paper. I like to write with like pen and paper or whatever. So I've taken a picture and I did this with Bard/Gemini. And I said, oh, here's an outline. Here are my thoughts. Write a script for this. What are common questions for people that maybe disagree? And what are some other points that I should add in there? So it's like, it's my thoughts. And then like you said, it's kind of like having someone critique your work and say, oh, you should put this in, put that in. That's actually a weak point. You need to strengthen it. And I mean, it shaves off so much time and it's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
So I would love being able to take a picture because I'd prefer not to like type stuff out and I want to get away from the keyboard and all that stuff. So,
good call.
Cool. So I want to circle back a little bit. Before we do, is there anything else with AI that you want to mention here? Anything I didn't ask?
The only other thing that the things that we're doing with it. I had another thought after I finished talking, which is one of the places we're going is we're letting, you know, whether it's ChatGPT, honestly, we'll often use several different LLMs because we'll use HARPA that can pull in different ones. And, but we've created custom GPTs that can kind of do this and we'll have it like, look at a bunch of comments in our YouTube videos or in a Facebook group and start to generate, characteristics or avatars for the different people that seem to be there, based on the things that they said in their comments or the posts that they make on Facebook, or even with our own community in Project 24, look at these threads and then it will output for us, like for, I think for Project 24, we ended up with like 8 different avatars. Like these are 8 kind of different people that represent the majority of people in Project 24. And so then we can take a piece of content, and when we ask it to critique it, we can kind of call up that avatar and be like, you know, what am I missing here? Or, you know, like you say, kind of play devil's advocate for me, you know, critique this for people that are going to disagree with this. What are their biggest questions or concerns? Or even for like video ideas, it's like, hey, you're, you know, pull up this avatar, you know, give me, you know, what are 10 things you'd like me to make videos about? And it'll just kind of get you over that hump, but it does it with the background of ideally a demographic that's like your audience. So that's another thing we've been playing around with quite a bit and trying to dial that in a little bit more.
That one's brilliant, man. I didn't think of it as like definitely a 2.0, 3.0 kind of idea. I'm going to use that. I'll report back and let you know. I have a specific way I think it can work pretty well. Okay. As we're circling back, I do want to ask you, do you think Google updates in the next, say, 6 to 18 months will correct some of the things that both you and I think a lot of other people think are a little bit off? Do you think they're going to try and fix it?
I think so. I certainly hope so. I'm with you. Like Reddit does not solve all of our problems. And the content on it isn't inherently better. And yet we see it a lot in the SERPs. I would expect that they're hard at work. The engineers over there are hard at work trying to find ways to refine the algorithm and to fix that. And I think that might be part of the reason why there were so many updates, is it's like there's one and then they're not going to pull it back and like undo it, but they're going to try to tweak it and then they're going to adjust it further. And I think we're going to see more of that over the next year or two as they're trying to refine how they identify what really is and isn't helpful content. I think we're going to see that. I certainly hope so. But, you know, another kind of mindset that I have is like when Google puts out an update and it changes my traffic, I'm not necessarily approaching then my blog from the standpoint of let's try to recover exactly what we had. It's more like what's the best way to take my stuff and grow it from here. So like if Google takes a post that I had that used to bring in a bunch of traffic and it trashes it, like, yeah, I want to identify why I think that happened and see if I can improve that one. But if I have other content on my site that Google seems to have favored a little bit more, it's like, okay, well, maybe we build on that. Let's build out a content cluster around it. Maybe that's a place where Google seems to think I have more topical authority or felt like my content was more helpful. And so I think for a lot of people, we may need a little bit of a mindset shift rather than it's really easy when you feel like, well, I lost this. I need to get it back. It's that loss aversion that we all have is, you know, inherent bias. I think it's just more proactive and just better to look at it from the standpoint of what's my best path forward to recover and improve upon even the outcomes that I had.
Ricky, it's been amazing. It's been too long. We got to do this more often. Yeah. Where can people find you?
Yeah, the best place is probably on YouTube. That's where I'm most active. So just youtube.com. And then the channel is Income School. You can find us at Income School. Also, incomeschool.com. We've got a bunch of websites. We have channel makers for people that are learning YouTube. Income School is kind of our main hub for everything. We are on Instagram, we're on Facebook, but a lot of that content is kind of repurposed from what we do on YouTube. So if you want kind of the freshest stuff, that's going to be the best place to find it.
Perfect. We'll link up to it. And if people want to check out Project 24, we'll link up to that so they can get to it really easily. So thanks again, man. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Doug. It's a pleasure.
Thanks a lot to Ricky and Income School for joining me. Always fun to catch up with him, and he's just a great guy. So if you want to check out Project 24 or anything else from Income School, I'll link up all the places that Ricky mentioned so that you can get to it really easily. And they have a great YouTube channel. I'm a subscriber myself, and it's cool to watch the channel grow over time. So quick favor, if you haven't left a review for the podcast, really appreciate it if you do. Right now, no sponsors, may bring some sponsors on in the future, but right now, this show is brought to you by me. Doug. So if you want to do me a personal favor, you can leave a review wherever you listen to this. Make sure you're subscribed. If possible, download all the episodes. That'll send good algorithmic signals to the powers that be at the podcast directories. And actually, I will share information about my strategy to publish these longer episodes the longer interviews in two episodes and generally launching with several episodes. So I'm going to share all this. And if you help me launch this show and partake in it and do download all the episodes and leave the review and leave comments on YouTube, hopefully it'll work. And then I can bring you some useful information about how it worked if you actually get people to do it. So I appreciate that you're checking out the episode. I'll catch you on the next one and have a great day out there.